Let me see them. Hold them up. All right, we need to turn. We're going to cover a chapter and a half today. Looking at chapter 8, going through about the 12th verse of chapter 9. You know, we are looking at the tribulation period. We need to understand exactly where we are, what we're doing. We're in the tribulation. Heaven is revealing to us what is going to take place during the tribulation time. We've already had a small glimpse of it as the six seals were opened and we saw some of the horrible things that were going to happen. But that's sort of like a church picnic as compared to where we're getting, because as we're getting to where we are today, the tribulation time is going to intensify. It's going to get more horrible, more chaotic. It's just going to get unbelievable. So we're going to look at it today. You know, in 1994, the News Observer ran a tremendous article on the things that were happening in Rwanda. If you remember back then, at that time in that country, there was a period when the people were going through a terrible tribulation period. 1,180 adults were put to death. 650 children. The streets were just filled with bodies. And garbage trucks were coming up and throwing bodies on the truck and hauling them off to a big ditch. A bulldozer that had been set up by the government was just pushing bodies down the streets toward this big hole that had been dug. It was a terrible time when these people that were just let loose on this country, and they were killing them with automatic weapons and machetes and anything that they could get their hands. They were just brutalizing these people. That's just a glimpse in our modern society of where we're headed with the tribulation period. We remember last week that God has the angel, the four corners of the earth, the four angels holding the winds of destruction back. And God said, you're not to do anything until I tell you to do it. Well, I want to tell you, friends, when we come to chapter 8, He has told those angels they can let loose. And what is getting ready to happen is something that is almost unbelievable as we look at it. And what I want you to understand above anything else is this. Listen, friends, hell is real. Satan is real. And the tribulation that is coming is real. Now, we need to let that sink in. Today, as we look at it, we're looking at the Great Tribulation, and we're getting ready to break the seventh seal. And when it is broken, we notice something very strange. And that is, there is silence in heaven. That seems like a strange thing. There is silence. The seventh seal is broken, and there's just silence. And we ask ourselves, you know, why? What does that tell us? Well, one man said, when he read it and he saw that there was silence in heaven, he said, well, it's evident there's no women going to be there. I'm just telling you what I read now. Here's the thing. It sounds like a very strange thing that, you know, there is silence in heaven, isn't it? Everything we read about in the Bible about heaven is what? It is a time of celebration, a time of joy, a time of a great rejoicing. We hear the harps playing, we hear the trumpets playing, we hear the choir singing. It's a great time where people are gathered together in celebration and feasting and celebrating and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something strange about the fact that, hey, all of a sudden there's going to be silence. And we need to understand there is a reason why He's telling us when this seventh seal is getting ready to be broken, that's going to release the seven trumpets that are going to sound, that the reason for silence is because of the horribleness that is getting ready to take place. Notice that these angels say on two different occasions, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why? Because what is getting ready to unfold is something that is horrible. And it's something that is almost unbelievable to look at. So we need to come to understand that we're moving into a terrible time. But the trumpets, look in verse 2, the trumpets are about ready to sound. And we need to understand that the angels are going to get ready to blow these trumpets. And we need to understand something else. These are special angels that's going to blow these trumpets. How do we know that? Because there is one particular angel that is always blowing his trumpet. Who is that? Gabriel. So we know that these must be special angels that God's getting ready to use, and He is going to tell us something. Notice in verses 3 through 5, He's telling us there is this prayer meeting. We've seen a prayer meeting once before in heaven, before the seals were broken. And here they're having another prayer meeting because the trumpets are getting ready to blow. And it is concerned about the people of God. And it's concerned about the people that's getting ready to go through the tribulation period. and there is a prayer meeting as they are trying to prepare for the intensity, because things are getting ready to intensify in the tribulation. And it is a time like we have never seen before, as Jesus said, and it is a time like we will never, ever, ever see again. And so these four trumpets are getting ready to blast. Notice the first trumpet. And I'm going to speak very quickly on the first four because I want us to dig in on the fifth one. So let's look at the first one. And there in verse 7, this first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now that's the first trumpet. All of a sudden, the land, the earth itself, is being affected. I mean, what's taking place? A third of the trees are being destroyed. A third of the grass is being destroyed. It's just being burned up. What's going on? I don't know. Maybe what this is about in the prediction of some kind of nuclear disaster. It's the only thing I can think of that could do that much damage that quickly upon the face of the earth. You know, man has played around with the universe and hydrogen bombs and atomic bombs in our atmosphere for years. But let me tell you, I believe that one of these days it's going to backfire. And that God's going to use us playing with our toys up in the heavens, that is His universe, and one day this vacuum that's been formed by these atomic bombs, and all of a sudden when that vacuum comes back and the earth rushes back in, there's going to be a backfire that's going to come right down the earth, and it's going to hit this earth, and a third of this earth is going to be affected. The grass is going to be burned up. The trees are going to be affected. The earth is going to be scorched. There is something miraculous that's going to happen. But I think it's also something symbolic here, because we read over in the book of Isaiah that when Isaiah is talking about the wicked people of Israel and those who had turned to idolatry, he said, people are grass. Isn't it interesting that James, also in the book of James, tells us that our lifespan is like grass. It is here today and gone tomorrow. And we also remind ourselves when we study the book of Daniel, what? That a king was represented and demonstrated as a what? A tree. Nebuchadnezzar was identified as a great tree that had been set out in the wilderness. So we can see there is some symbolism. What's going to be destroyed is not only the vegetation of the world, but it's going to be destroying lives on this world. Now look at the second trumpet. The second trumpet sounds, verses 8 and 9. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. First of all, we have the earth that's being affected. And then secondly, what we're having the oceans. All the salt water, all the oceans of the world are going to be affected. They're going to be affected, and since they've going to become polluted. You know, and the pollution, whatever it is, you know, it sort of reminds me of what I'm reading and thinking about it. On the edge of some ocean somewhere, maybe it's the Mediterranean or Pacific somewhere over in Hawaii, some volcano is just going to erupt like it's never erupted before. And it's going to pour its sulfuric acid and lava down into the ocean. And when it does, it's just going to kill one-third of the animals, the creatures in the ocean. It's going to pollute the water. The water's going to, it's not going to be this crystal blue that we like to see in the ocean, or this beautiful green color in the ocean. It's going to turn blood. It's going to be putrid. It's going to be ugly. It's not going to be something that we would desire to run down and jump into and surf around or swim in. We don't want to be a part of it. Because just think, a third of the oceans is going to be affected when this thing happens. So we see that it is tremendous what the angels are telling us as they reveal to us. And then I want you to look at the third trumpet, verses 10 through 11. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the water became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was bitter. Now, what do we have? We have, first of all, that the earth is being affected. Then what happens? Then the seawater is being affected. Now what's being happened? The fresh water supply is being affected. A third of all the streams and all the rivers are being affected. And people are going to begin to die. Isn't it interesting that this star that fell, I don't know, I think it's talking about a meteorite, don't you? That all of a sudden I had some big asteroid out here in the universe that gets out of control and is going to come into the orbit of the earth. And we talk about if one would hit the Pacific Ocean, it could destroy the Pacific Ocean. It is interesting that all of a sudden this thing is going to come out of the space. It's going to hit the streams and the rivers of the earth, and it's going to completely just pollute them. And they won't be able to drink out of them, and people will die, and the water will become bitter. Isn't it interesting that when it talks about this star, it is a star called Wormwood. Wormwood is a plant. It is a very juicy plant, but it is very, very bitter. Isn't it interesting that also Isaiah, when he was talking about the Israelites that had become sin and had become wickedness and had turned away from the laws and the direction that God wanted, that the prophet said, God is going to feed you the bitterness of wormwood because you have strayed away and you have turned away from me. So it's interesting that when we look at Revelation, we also see that the prophets has also mentioned the same thing many, many years before. In Revelation 15, in 17:15, we read, "Then he said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sit are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues.'" So we see some symbolism here. We come to understand that the water is talking about people. Not only is the water going to be polluted, but people's lives are going to be polluted and destroyed and affected. It's going to be a time of physical and spiritual disaster. But I'm concerned that we come to understand that the greatest desire Satan has is what? When it comes to water. Satan's greatest desire is that he could pollute the living water. And I want to tell you, I want to praise God today that my life has been saved and my life has been sealed by that living water that Satan can no longer pollute. I'm in his hands. I'm his possession, right? And then we look something else. We look here. I want you to look over in the Gospel of Luke when you get time to chapter 21. And I want to remind you something. Jesus was teaching on the Mount of Olives. And when it was, I want you to understand it was on a Tuesday before the Thursday when he was arrested and put to death. And when he was on the cross, right before he went to the cross, I want you to listen to what Jesus said. Here's what he said. "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth, dismayed among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming to the earth. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up," Jesus said. "Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh." It looks like to me Jesus, right before he went to the cross, was telling us about the fourth trumpet. That he was looking ahead to this time of tribulation and saying, you can expect this is what's going to happen. And this is how it's going to happen. And I'm going to come in the midst of all that. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus is coming in a cloud. So we see Jesus is making a direct reference here to the moon, to the sun, to the stars. They're all going to be darkened. What is it the Bible tells us over and over? Man loves what? He loves darkness rather than light. Why? Because it hides or it covers up his evil deeds. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to understand when that fourth trumpet sounds, man's going to have darkness like he's never had before, and I believe he's going to get his belly full of darkness. Because one-third of this planet's going to be in darkness. One-third of the light that God created in the beginning to give us light and to give us direction, a third of it's going to be affected. And a third of our day is going to be, the light of day is going to be taken away from us. All right, let's dig in. Chapter 9. Let's get to the fifth trumpet. Here we want to see that we're dealing with something. In chapter 8, verse 13, we see that the eagle says that he is heading us toward this fifth trumpet. Notice what it says. It says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." Why is the angel saying whoa? Because he's coming to realize that we are moving into a period of tribulation of which we're getting ready to have something revealed to us that is just so horrible. It is so breathtaking. It is just, the angels are saying, oh, wow. You just don't know how terrible this is getting ready to be. And so we turn into the the fifth trumpet, and we see that. I want you to note something. It notes that a star from heaven has fallen. A star from heaven. I want you to understand something, that it's not talking about a physical star. How do I know that? Because it says later, look at it, underscore, it says him. It's talking about a person. Who is it talking about? Brothers and sisters, you need to understand, it's talking about Satan. For the star that fell from heaven was an angel called Satan, the devil. And he fell from the heavens, and he fell down to earth. And I want you to know, we know that because in Revelation 12:9, it also tells us that the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, in Luke, Jesus said, you know, I watched. Jesus said, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And here we see that the Bible is telling us without a shadow of a doubt that Satan has fallen. Notice in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, listen to what it says. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from the heaven to the earth. Here it is. Notice. To him was given, to him who? The star. Was given the key to the bottomless pit. Do you understand why the angels were saying, whoa? Whoa, whoa, because we are getting ready to open the bottomless pit. The most vilest, corrupt place that man can imagine is getting ready to be opened. The earth is going to be invaded by demon spirits that have been in chains and been locked up and cast in the very bottom of a pit. He's going to open it up in the bottomless pit. When he did, smoke arose out of the pit and the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Bottomless pit means abyss. So that's the word, abyss. And it means that it is a place where the most vilest of angels, the most vilest of the demons, had been locked up. Been locked up ever since Satan took a third of them with him out of heaven. I don't know why God allowed some demons to be on the earth and why some he locked up. And we need to understand this, friends. God, in his grace and in his mercy, made sure that certain demons were locked up, were put in prison, were secluded, were in the darkest pit of the earth. And they were not set, they were in chains, they were restrained, they were not allowed to be a part of anything that Satan was going to be able to do on earth while we are here. It is only during the tribulation period that he's going to release them. Can you imagine that every prison, every penitentiary, every place that has people locked up today, all over the universe, if they were let loose today, the doors were open. No more restraints. They had freedom. They could go wherever they wanted. They could do whatever they wanted. There was no police force to contain them. They were free. All these criminals and all the prisons all over the world, they just released. Let me tell you something. That, if we release every criminal there is on the face of the earth today and let them have freedom, it would only be a birthday party compared to what's getting ready to happen when these vile demons are released from the bottomless pit of hell. And that's what's getting ready. They're getting ready. I want to say this morning very quickly 11 things about these demons, about these spirits. And I want you to see, first of all, they are degenerate spirits. They are degenerate. That, you know, all demons are wicked. All of them are wicked. And we need to be careful and recognize that they are wicked. But these that are getting ready to be released from the bottomless pit are in a class all by themselves. They are the most dangerous of all demons. They are so vile, they're so wicked, they're so evil, they're so despicable that God in His mercy, for some reason, has kept them locked up, has kept them in chains, kept them out of sight. He's kept them in a pit where He didn't allow them to have any control on this earth. You remember, go back with me. You remember Legion? You remember Jesus when He went over across the Sea of Galilee into this little community and healed a man called Legion? And you remember Jesus asked him, why is your name Legion? And he said, because I have many demons. And we remember that Jesus was going to cast them out. You remember the scripture word that was used, the same word is used in the parable of, in the healing situation with Legion as is in this verse in Revelation. Abyss. It said these demons were from the abyss. same idea. Now here's what I want you to concentrate on. Here's what I want to recall to your memory. When Jesus got ready to cast these demons out, do you remember what Legion said? Do you remember what Legion begged Jesus not to allow to happen? You remember what these demons were crying out from the very soul and the very spirit of this man who was possessed by them? What were these demons crying and begging for? Don't send us to the abyss. Whatever you want to do with us, don't send us down there. Don't send us to that bottomless pit. Don't send us down there where all those other vile demons are. Do anything you want, but don't send us down there. Isn't that interesting? I want you to come to understand that what is going to happen is that these that are getting better released are tremendous, vile, wicked, terrible individuals that's getting ready to be released on the earth. I believe this is what Peter was talking about when Peter referred to it in 2 Peter 2:4. This is what Peter said. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, listen, but cast them down to hell and delivered them, listen, into chains of darkness to be held there until judgment. I think that's exactly what Peter was making reference to, these vile demons that were down in hell, down in this bottomless pit, that is now getting ready to be released. Again, I want to ask you, just think about it. Just imagine that all the prison doors in the United States and the world were open today. Every rapist, every murderer, every child molester, every abuser, every addict, every psychopath, every sociopath, every kind of evil person you can think of had freedom to walk down the streets and do whatever they wanted to you, to your family, to your children. There were no restraints. There was no police force. There was nobody controlled them. They had freedom. Let me ask you, how many of you would like to live in a town like that? But I want you to understand something. That's what the picture is being told us. It is telling us without a shadow of a doubt. This is what's going to happen. And I want to tell you, you say, no, I don't want to be in a town like that. I don't want to be in a city like that. Let me tell you something. If you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to witness it and even worse. That's what the message of the Word of God is trying to tell us. The tribulation is coming. We have no guarantee that it may not happen tomorrow. And that the church would be raptured and we're gone. But there will be those that are left behind. Those who play church. Those who are into religion but not into relationship. Those who have never really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and have an intimate walk and fellowship with Him. They're going to be left here. And this is what they're going to go through and what they're going to endure. I thank God that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit as promised in Ephesians 4:30. I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And these vile demons cannot snatch me from the hands of my loving God. I am thankful I don't have to worry about those that are going to be set free on this earth that are corrupt and vile because I am in the hands of the Lord. Number two, I want you to see they are dark in spirit. Look in verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened. Can you just, you know how choking air, old smoke is when it just sort of curls away and you can't breathe. And that's what's getting ready to happen as this smoke comes out of the pit. There is a deadly smoke screen that's going to come up out of hell. Why is there a need for a smoke screen? You know what a smoke screen is used for in military? To hide, to conceal. And you're getting ready to advance on the enemy. You don't want the enemy to know what you're doing. You put the smoke screen up so you can move behind the lines and get in place. We need to come to understand that out of hell is coming these demons, and they're going to stand ahead of them, this smoke screen. They're going to conceal, they're going to hide what they're getting ready to do. And what they're getting ready to do is to destroy mankind. And this old choking smoke is just coming up, and here is this Prince of Peace, the Angel of Darkness, is going to come up and lead this movement, and is going to take all those that he had taken with him, all of his demons. They're all going to be with him, and they're going to fight, and they're going to destroy, and they're going to harm. And I thank God I found the light, and that light has sealed my salvation experience. Aren't you? Look here. Look in third. And they are devouring spirits. verses 3 through 4. Then out of the smoke, locusts came up upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green things, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Look, here they're coming. And they're told one thing, they can't destroy what? They can't harm what? Any green thing. Why? Why can they not harm any green thing? Brothers and sisters, they already destroyed a third of the green stuff already. There's only two-thirds left. So God is saying, you're not going to mess with that. But what you are going to mess with, and you are going to torment, and you're going to deal with, is men. Men who? What kind of men? What kind of people that are left on this earth? Those that do not have the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ on their forehead or in their heart. In other words, if they, God is saying, demons, you can't mess with mine. You keep your hands off of them. But all those out there that refuse me, all those that have lived for the days of the tribulation and all the great things they thought was going to be given to them in tribulation, they're yours. They're fair game. You go after them. And you do with whatever you want. But you leave the rest of them alone. You know, there's been times in history we've read in papers where these locusts just swarm, you know, and they just come in big bodies. And there's so many of them, they literally blot out the sun. And it's a darkness. And they eat everything in their path. They eat every blade of grass, every leaf on trees. They eat the flowers in the field. They eat the grain in the field. They destroy everything. They even eat bark off of trees. But I want you to understand something. These locusts are restricted. They can't touch any vegetation. They can only do what? They can only deal with the souls of men. They can only harm the souls of men. I want you to understand here. Notice what it says. That these are devouring spirits. They're going to hurt. They're going to harm. They're going to inflict torment upon those that are left here. Notice what it says. They are scorpion-like locusts. And they're going to torment those that are on the earth for 5 long months. I don't know about you, but I praise God and I thank God I've been sealed and thus set free of all pain and of all sorrow and of all torment by Satan, by the very mercy of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number 4, they are debilitating spirits. You know, they just are going to suck the very energy out of you. They're going to torment you and harm you and be constantly annoying you every breath, every waking hour, every sleeping hour, every moment on this earth for 5 months. How long does it take for us to finally get debilitated and we just want to give up? You ever been there? Something going on in your life, you're depressed or some illness or some sickness or some pain you might have been dealing with. But you want to understand something. Anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? Anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? When reading this week, I found out that when they sting you, that it is a very, very powerful sting and very, very hurtful. And it lasts for 24 hours. And that it is so dangerous, it can kill a small kid. But here's the thing I was reading. It said there is no pain medication. Trying to use pain medication to ease the pain only intensifies the pain. Now listen, just think about this. These they're going to debilitate us. They're going to harm, they're going to hurt for 5 months. Now think about it. I believe I could endure pain for 24 hours. Do you? I don't have a high tolerance of pain, but I believe I could take 24 hours. But listen, could you take it for 5 months? And we're not talking about one locust and one, so we're talking about a sky full of them. These locusts that have scorpion poison and have these stingers and can sting and cause us great pain. Imagine what the scripture says. What people are so caught up in this pain, what do they want? What are they seeking during this time? What are they seeking? Death. And notice what the scripture says. They look after death, but they can't find it. They seek after death, but they can't find it. They desire death, but they cannot find it. What is that telling us? There is no escape. You're going to endure this for 5 months, and it's going to continue to go on and on for 5 months until God says, enough, stop. You can't stop them. Nobody can stop them. But for 5 months, they can cause you tremendous pain and tremendous agony. I don't know about you, but I thank God I'm sealed by the one who did stop Satan on the cross of Calvary. And I am redeemed by His blood forever. Number 6, they are domineering spirits. Don't you notice in verse 7, on their heads were crowns of something like gold. What does that tell us? They are domineering. They have power. They have control. They have been put in charge. You have the king. We have Satan, the angel, coming, and all of his demons are coming out to be with him. And what are they going to do? They're going to crown him king. You know what? Satan has always wanted to be king. Do you know that? You read in the Bible, all through the Bible, he always wanted to be king. That's what went on in Isaiah and Ezekiel, why he got thrown out of heaven. That's what went on in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? He wanted to be equal with God. He wanted to have the same power, the same glory. He wanted to rule and to reign. Well, brothers and sisters, we are told here he is given a crown. They crown him, and they're going to follow him. All his demons are just going to come in and go with him, and he will have his day. You know, there was a time when Jesus was on the earth, and it was said of Jesus, he said, the world, the people, they will not have me to rule over them. Well, in the tribulation, he's not going to rule over them. They're going to get their wish. They're going to get their desire. They're going to get this one that is going to be crowned, and he has dominion, and he has control, and he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And I thank God I've been sealed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in whose feet I will cast my crown. 7, they are deceptive spirits. Look at the last part of verse 7. Their faces were as the faces of men. Men. Faces of men refer to intelligence. And what this is telling us is what? You got this guy, Satan, who's been crowned king. He's got all of his his henchmen, all of his followers. And they are all going to be intelligent. They're all going to have some kind of means of communication. They're all going to think alike. There's one mastermind that basically is in all of them. They have the same course. They have the same mission. That is to destroy the world and to inflict pain and torment upon human mankind. And they are going to be rampant. There's no way to stop them. There's no one that can stop them. They are free to do whatever they want. Jesus said, if it were possible, here's an interesting thing. Jesus said, if it were possible, they would have even deceived the elect. Don't you proud praise God? God, they can't deceive us, for we're in His hand. The Bible says that the devil is one of deception. The Bible says that the wiles of the devil is that of evil. The Bible says that the devil is decisiveness. The devil, it says, is one who is out to destroy and to deceive man. And here he is. He's in the tribulation, the Antichrist. He's in control. He's ruling. And his whole intent is to do what? Is to deceive the unrighteous. Who are the unrighteous? Those that do not have the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ on their forehead. And he is out to deceive them and take them down a road that they think is wonderful and glorious, but when it's all over, they have been deceived. I jump with joy. I don't know about you, but I jump with joy because the one who sealed me could not be deceived by Satan. And he was able to say to Satan, get behind me where Satan belongs. And we need to come to understand, though he is deceptive, if we are in the hands of the Lord and he is our Savior, he cannot deceive us because we have one who is stronger and greater and more powerful. Look at number 8. They are defiling spirits. Defiling means they want to make dirty or to make impure. Look in verse 8. They had hair like women's hair and their teeth like lion's teeth. The hair of a woman in the Bible always speaks of her beauty, her alluring beauty. But we need to understand that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about seductiveness. It's talking about seductiveness. Let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully. Do not flirt with the occult. Do not flirt with anything that deals with the occult. Listen, if you've got Ouija boards at home, you need to throw them in the trash can. If you've got horoscopes at home and catalogs and books of horoscopes, you need to throw them in the trash can. You need to get them out of your house. You need to quit looking and being allured by those that would deceive you, because they will take you down a path that you don't need to go, and they will hook you and entrap you into something that you don't need to be entrapped in, and it will not be a pleasant outcome. They are seductive. And I want you to notice something else. It says not only do they have the hair of a woman, but they have the teeth of a lion. We're reading this week about a lion's jaw. And it says that when a lion sets his jaw into his prey, there is almost nothing humanly possible to break that bite. That he has such power in his jaw. I want you to understand what's being said here. It's a very, very tremendous symbolism. What it is saying is when these creatures come out of the bottomless pit where they begin to scatter all over this universe, what are their intent? Their intent is to entrap us. And when they get us in a trap, we need to understand there is no getting out of that trap. They have a grab on us and a hold on us that we cannot get loose or free of. And therefore, I don't know about you, I don't want to be in that tribulation period. I don't want to be caught up in the jaws of a lion that's known as Satan, where he can destroy me and where he can take away everything that is dear and precious to my life. I praise Jesus I've been sealed and removed forever and ever from the devouring trap set by Satan. Number 9, they are defiant. What does that mean? They are bold. Man, they strut. I mean, they are bold. They are bold spirits. Notice in 9, and they had breastplates like breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. In other words, friends, they're cold-hearted. They're heartless. They've got a mission, and they're on a mission, and they don't care whether the people are screaming, whether the people are moaning, whether people are begging, whether people are trying to escape them. They could care less. They're on a mission, and they're going to be defiant, and they're going to just simply move toward that goal that is set before them, and that is to destroy mankind. Bullets can't stop them. Congress can't stop them. Medical, they don't make any difference what it is. There is nothing on this earth that can stop them once they start. I don't know about you. You won't be able to debate with them. You won't be able to argue with them. You won't be able to plead with them. They've got a mission, and they're going to carry out that mission. And I say, hallelujah. I've been sealed by an omnipotent God, and He is all-powerful. And I know He can stop Satan in his tracks and set me free, for He has done it on Calvary's tree. Number 10, they are durable. Notice in verse 10, they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tail. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. You know what that sort of reminds me of? When I was reading this scripture and studying about it, it just flashed across my mind, the Duracell rabbit. He just goes on and on and on and on and on, and never stops. That's the picture I get. Here you got these scorpions for 5 months. They're going to go on and on and on and on and on. And you can't stop them. Nobody can stop them. They got a mission that is set before them, and they're going to carry it out. And there's nothing will stop them at all. And I want you to notice, let me stop here just a minute. Why 5? Why is it that 5 months they're going to be allowed to have freedom for 5 months? Let's go back to our study. Remember numbers? The numbers we studied? 5 and 10 represent what? Completeness. 5 is the completeness of man. What about it? We have 5 senses. We have 5 fingers on each hand. We have 5 toes on each foot. It represents the completeness of man. So what is it? Now, let me ask you another question. Any of you know the lifespan of a locust? Well, I mean, you should know the answer. It's 5 months. Isn't that interesting? So for the lifespan of this locust-like creature, he's going to have a mission for 5 months. His entire lifespan, he's going to be on this mission to hurt and to harm and to inflict. He has a stinger that he's going to sting us with and hurt us, and there is no way to stop him. The Pentagon can't stop him. Military can't stop him. That the church that was left behind, you know the church that was left behind? There was a church left behind. You know that, don't you? That's those who had membership and no relationship. they're left. I want you to understand this, brother and sister. There is a church that's going to be left behind. And that's those who did not have a personal, intimate, obedient relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They played religion. They played church. They had a membership. They were baptized, but they were never sanctified. Even that church, the unsaved can't save them back there. I mean, and all their pleas and everything they want, there is no way to stop what is going on. It would be just as easy to stop this crowd as it would be to be taking snowballs and throwing them at Mount Mitchell and trying to knock it off. It'd be just as possible. For 5 months, God has given them complete control to do whatever they want upon the face of earth. I don't know about you, but it is wonderful to know that I have been sealed by the most durable God who is on His throne, and He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He is forever and ever. Amen? Let's look at number 11. They are diabolical demons. Wow. Verses 11 and 12. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek it has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these three. Isn't that a strange, strange phrase? Angel of the bottomless pit. Angel of the bottomless pit. And we just found out what this bottomless pit is all about. The most crude, the most horrible, the most vile people that you can find upon the face of the earth. You know what Abaddon and Apollyon means? It means destroyer. Destroyer. Now, let me ask you a question. Abaddon, Hebrew. Apollyon, Greek. Why? Why tell us about two gods? There's a message here, friend. You need to hear the message. You know what the message is? It don't make any difference if you are a Jew or a Gentile. There is no escape. Brothers and sisters, we are Gentiles. And then there is those that are Jews. But it don't make any difference who you are. It don't make any difference what culture you are. It doesn't make any difference what language you speak. It don't make any difference what color of skin you have. Brothers and sisters, what the Bible is telling us here, there is no escape, and nobody will be able to avoid what is getting ready to happen during this time. There is no defense. There is no way to outrun them. There is no way to hide from them. Friends, I conclude with this. I want you to think with me about the horribleness of what is being described. A time that could happen tomorrow. Could happen next week. The whole thing that Jesus said to us over and over and over again. Be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. Friends, I don't want my children to have to go through the tribulation, do you? I don't want my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren to go through it. I don't want any of you to go through it. And I want you to understand something. Unless you have accepted Jesus as your personal, I don't mean going through the motions, but you have given your heart to Him, that hymn that says, I've surrendered all. I have turned my life over to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. I let Him rule and Him be the Lord of my life. Now listen, I beg you to do one thing. Don't go out, don't get hung up. Don't get hung up on the pastor's interpretation of these things. It's highly symbolic. I understand that. I agree with that. So don't get hung up in it. It's not about interpretation. It's about the fact and the truth that, hey, this is something the Bible says is real. And it's going to happen. And it will happen after the church is gone. It will happen when Jesus appears up there in the sky to bring His church home. So we need to be ready. We need to be prepared because this angel is crying out. As it looks down upon the scene and it says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can you just hear that angel? We're talking about an angel. Not one of the demons. We're talking about the angels around the throne of God. that's revealing the things to us about the tribulation that is Christ. Well, the angels in heaven, around God's throne, are moaning and crying with great deep cries because of what they see and what they understand is about to come. So I say to you, I don't know about you, but friends, I have made preparation not to be in that thing. I've made preparation not to be there. And I'm not going to be there. And I hope you made the same preparation, because I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And according to Ephesians 4:30, He has, through the Holy Spirit, He has sealed me. And He has put His hand of protection upon me. And He has said, you are my possession. You belong to me. And I am in His hands. And I say, the Bible says, I am there until the day of my redemption. And I say, praise God. Amen. Father.